Welcome to Lesson 3. This lesson is about Eve and the problem of perceived lack. Satan's attack on Eve's integrity was an attack on her wholeness. Prior to the fall, Eve's spirit, soul, and body were in harmony and alignment. And unfortunately, Satan's methods haven't changed. His approach with Eve is reminiscent of the cultural attacks on womanhood that we're seeing today. The main question is, did God really say? So what caused Eve to fall victim to Satan's lies? She had been placed in a garden that was heaven on earth. We would have loved to have been there. No weeds. She could have everything she could possibly want and more. She had every kind of food to eat. She had a one-woman man. And she had the freedom to do as she pleased whenever she wanted to. Can you imagine that? She had perfect health. Perfect weather, and no known danger. So what caused her to fall? Well, some people say she was outwitted, she was deceived, but James tells us that we're dragged away by our own evil desires. So what was Eve's evil desire? What happened between the day she was crafted, bana, as a perfect woman, to the day that she took and ate the fruit? At some point along the way, she looked at that one tree out of the thousands upon thousands, and she decided that something was missing in her life. She perceived lack. The word perceived means to come to an opinion about something or have a belief about something. This belief doesn't have to be based on truth. It doesn't have to be based on reality or even fact. A perception is simply the formation of an opinion or a belief. It can be rooted in truth or fact, or it can be comprised of past memories, snippets of conversation, lies from trusted friends, dreams, imaginations. It can even be based on how you feel when you wake up in the morning and then go and run into somebody that is new to you. The key to perception is that the belief you believe is true. So what did Eve believe? Well, she decided first to believe something was missing in her life. And then she chose to believe that God was holding out on her. That she had a face-to-face relationship with God was not enough. That he walked in the garden with her, not enough. That she had the right to eat of the tree of eternal life, not enough. In the Old Testament, sin is defined as missing the mark. The concept comes from shooting an arrow with it veering off the straight path and missing the target. In the New Testament, it also means to miss the mark, but in the Greek, the word sin can also carry the connotation of missing out on one's share of the inheritance or one's portion or destiny. I see it as missing out on the plan of God for our life. I was thinking about Eve. You know, what caused her perception of God to change? It seems that when she decided to believe she was missing out on something, she generated a self-fulfilling prophecy. And what she missed out on was eternal life. What she got was a life filled with evil, sickness, disease, and death. When Eve agreed with the perception of not having enough, she actually sowed the seeds of perceived lack. Lack, in its ultimate form, is death. If we choose to see our lives through the lens of lack, we make ourselves miss out on what God has for us, our share of the inheritance, because our choices and decisions are viewed through a lens of ingratitude and doubt. Sometimes I think we don't fully appreciate the disconnect of the soul and spirit. In Psalms 119:25, we read, "My soul cleaves to the dust." The word cleaves can mean sticks to, runs after, holds on to, but it also means to be joined together. Our soul, in its degradation, is deeply integrated into the physical realm. When Jesus comes in to save us, he extricates us bit by bit. In my case, unfortunately, he's had to pry some things out of my clenched fists, and this process can be painful. Letting go of what appears stable and certain is confusing and frightening at times. Maybe your life feels disconnected and out of sync. You may have experienced trauma that left you disoriented and confused, or maybe because of your environment or even your own choices, your mind has fed more on hopelessness and anger, bitterness, envy, jealousy, pride, or even perversion, rather than on hope and the promises and ordinances of God. You may have abused or altered your body in an effort to fit into the world system. You may have turned your back on your gender in an effort to find your identity. You may feel like your spirit is weak and you are just not able to allow it to control your body and your emotions. Your body and your emotions are ruling you. But the good news is that because of Jesus, the Holy Spirit can live in you and can help you overcome any negative in life, whether it's imposed on you or whether it's yours as the result of your own choices. The Spirit of God is bigger than anything we've done or can do in our search for meaning, significance, and wholeness. In the scriptures, we see the word way over 600 times. We see in Proverbs 14:12 that there's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Eve thought the way to fixing her sense of lack was to acquire knowledge. But Jesus tells us in Matthew 7:14, there's a way that leads to life, but it's a difficult path with a narrow gate, and few find it. The choice is ours. It's the same choice Joshua set before the Israelites in Deuteronomy 30:15. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, walk in obedience to him, keep his commands, his decrees, and laws. And then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you're entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you're not obedient, and if you're drawn away, you will certainly be destroyed. This day I call the heavens and earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live and that you may love the Lord your God and listen to his voice and hold fast to him, because the Lord is your life. Robert Frost, in his famous poem, The Road Less Traveled, says it this way: two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. If we want a sense of wholeness, we have to choose to align our spirit, soul, and body with the ways of God. We find his ways marked very clearly in the Bible, in the divine laws that govern this universe, in his prescribed manner of wise living, in the explanations of how the kingdom of heaven operates, in the judgments or sentences that were handed down when cases were brought before the Lord's throne, and in the testimonies of many witnesses as to the style of life that brings God's favor and blessings. Anything outside of his ways leads us away from life, joy, peace, and our sense of identity, purpose, and fulfillment. And anything outside of his ways will ultimately end in death. I hope that you'll be able to take this lesson and think about it and apply it to your own situation. Think about Eve. Are you like her? Are you seeing things, perceiving things as lacking in your life? Perhaps you want to take an inventory of what you have, and then what you think that you don't have that you need. It is true, some people don't even have the basic necessities. I'm not talking about that. In those cases, we go to God and we lay out our case before him, and he will hear and answer our prayers. But if your lack is simply perceived, if it's based on what you see other people have or what the world system says you should have or do or be, then let God change your perceptions. I pray for you today that you will be set free from the perceptions of this world and that you'll be allowed to have a joyful life, living fully in the power of the Holy Spirit. Have a wonderful rest of your day, and we'll see you tomorrow.